Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
As we have already seen in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, there is a very sober warning found in verses 16 and 17, which goes like this. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Now, one reason why this particular text doesn't carry the weight in our minds that it ought to is because very frequently we confuse that with another text which is found a couple of chapters later, where we read in chapter 6, verse 19, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. So in chapter 6, we are told that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. That is, of course, if we have been born again. Oftentimes, therefore, the verse that I just read in chapter 3 is mistakenly equated with the one in chapter 6, as if they are saying the same thing, talking about the same idea, but they're not. And that's the whole point, and we need to understand that difference. Because, as you remember, if you were with us last week, when Paul says, do you not know that you are the temple of God, in that verse, the one we're looking at in chapter 3, the you is not singular, it is plural. Do you not know that you all, members of the Corinthian church, are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you all? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you all are. Paul, in chapter 3, is talking about the local church, the church at Corinth. And that he describes as the temple of God, and that's where God dwells, and that has to be protected by the people of God, or judgment will fall. It's all part of properly understanding the Bible doctrine of the church. And so we return to this subject on this Monday, June 21. You're here. We thank the Lord for that. We're here because some of you help us with the financial costs that make it possible to be here. So we have learned in verses 16 and 17 that the church is God's temple, and the temple that he's talking about here, the church that is the temple that he's talking about here, is a local entity, and it is God's dwelling place. The Spirit of God dwells in you all, plural, that is, when you all are assembled as the church, or when you are acting as the church. And this, Paul assumes they already know. It's a well-known doctrine. He taught them that when he was with them. He indicates that by saying, do you not know this? Now, the only way he could have said, do you not know this, is if it was expected that they would know this, that they should know this, that they had been taught this. And so he says, don't you know this? Of course you do. Therefore, it's important, he says, that you protect the church. Because those who defile or destroy or damage the church will receive God's judgment. And that's a way of showing us how highly God values a church. It is manifested, the value of it is manifested by God's judgment upon those who would damage it, and it's manifested by the holiness that Paul, by the Spirit of God, says belongs to it. If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you all are. The temple of God is holy. That word holy has the idea of separate, set apart, therefore designated for a special purpose, and of course in this case the purpose is to serve the living God, to serve as a place for the living God to dwell, to operate, to touch this world. We are the temple of God, and be careful what you do with it, because if you are responsible for bringing damage to the church, and of course that would be by your sinfulness, by your carelessness, if you are responsible for bringing damage to Christ's church, this holy temple, which is the local church, then God is going to judge you. So understand the church. But next, in verses 18 through 20, we come to another idea, which is understand wisdom. And here, Paul contrasts worldly wisdom with true wisdom and tells us how to distinguish between them and how to acquire true wisdom as opposed to false wisdom, that is, worldly wisdom. Verse 18. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. What is he telling us here? Well, first of all, he states a truth that he wants us to understand. The wisdom of the world is foolishness with God. Paul is telling us that God sees as folly what we, thinking according to human wisdom, what we think is wisdom. Some folly, because it is used, some things are folly because that wisdom is used for a wrong purpose. And other things are folly because they are simply not true. It's folly to take something that God has given and then to use it for a purpose which is contrary to the commands of God, contrary to the revealed will of God. God gives wisdom to, what shall we say, to understand the nature of God, the reality of God, the nature of God, which is seen in the creation which he made. And the more we study this creation, the more we should be awed by the greatness of the God who made it, but we can take that wisdom that God has given us to understand the world in which we live and use it to, as some people do, to deny the existence of God, and to use this very wisdom that God has given to promote atheism as if there is no God, and to create erroneous theories of how this God here by telling us that it all happened by chance, that in essence something came from nothing, which really doesn't make sense philosophically or scientifically. Either way, there's no way, it's never been done, to create something out of nothing. Only God can do that, and he has done that. And that's what this universe is. It is the creation of God who created it, ex nihilo, out of nothing. Nothing was there, and then God said, let there be, and suddenly there was. Now, that's what the Bible reveals to us, and there is nothing. There is nothing in the realm of science that disproves that. Science can't prove that the world came out of nothing. In fact, in most cases, it doesn't even attempt to do that. It just keeps pushing it further and further and further back in time, millions of years, billions of years, okay? Let's go back to through all of that time that you have postulated, and what was there at the beginning? Well, there was some kind of mass, and it exploded and threw all of the planets into orbit and threw all this universe into its present existence. Okay, that is pretty hard to believe. We don't see that happening. We can't find any examples of that today. You don't produce fine precision machinery by an explosion in a junkyard and it throws the parts all together into beautiful precision. And that's what you're expecting us to believe. But all that aside for the moment, where did that initial mass come from that exploded into what we see today? You always have to start with something. Where did the something come from? Is matter eternal? But there's nothing about matter that would lead us to believe that it is eternal. In fact, a great deal of scientific explanation depends upon dating the age of the material around us. This rock is so many years old. This tree is so many years old. This river is so many years old. They tell us that the oldest river in North Carolina is the New River. Isn't that interesting? But this river is so many years old. There's different ways that they calculate these times. Well, if it's so many years old, then it had a beginning. I can calculate my age from my birth, from the beginning. There was a time when I was not. And then I was conceived, and I was born, and I came into being, and I have now reached the age where I am now. And the fact that I'm so many years old indicates there was a time when my life began, and it indicates before that there was a time when my life did not exist, it had not yet begun. So the very act of dating things in this universe indicates that there was a beginning. So, there must have been a time when this matter was not, because it had a beginning. Well, you say it, in this form, it is so many years old, but it had a beginning, it existed as something else before that, okay? Where did that come from? And on it goes. I don't want to keep talking about this endlessly. I'm just talking in general terms, really more philosophical terms. But the point is that you can take the same wisdom and use it to glorify God by supporting what He has revealed to us and what we can only know by divine revelation, or you can use it to deny God, to convince people that there is no God. You can take the wisdom of God and use it in ungodly ways. And that would be an example of what we are talking about here. The wisdom of the world is foolishness with God. Well, you will have to take this up again tomorrow. Please join me then. Until then, this is Greg Barkman, Bible teacher on the Beacon Broadcast, saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.